Hey, everybody, what is Section 230 and why does it matter? Big tech has engaged in a blue terror. That and so much more here in the Charlie Kirk Show. And if you want to make sure your data is anonymized, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie to protect you against big tech and big brother. Every one of your devices needs ExpressVPN, like my device right now, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Section 230, big tech, and so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
If you are a shareholder of Twitter, you're not doing too well right now.
You're not doing too well right now. 20 hours or so ago, Business Insider leaked a story with some information on Twitter's stock prices going down on Monday evening. It tumbled as much as 12% yesterday on Monday, which erased $5 billion from its market capitalization after they banned the president permanently last Friday.
12%.
12% in one weekend.
So there is something called fiduciary responsibility that all CEOs are supposed to have towards their shareholders. It'll be very interesting to see how Jack Dorsey responds to lawsuits that are definitely coming, saying that the banning of the president from the site was not in the best financial interest of the company.
And I expect this will be a market response sort of across the board when it comes to suppression of conservative voices in big tech and on social media platforms. Look, if investors across the board say they're losing faith in the ability to allow all people to have a platform, there's a market response to what's happening right now. Forget about the legal response in Section 230 and going through the courts. This is a very simple way that consumers of the product can tell the CEO of Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, everything. We could go down the list.
That's right.
But they're not okay with what's happening right now.
And so and they shouldn't be. And what we saw in the last week, not only losing the Georgia runoffs, the deadly events that happened in Capitol Hill, but then also big tech decided to really do a massive push against anyone on the center right in this country. And we've seen this now on YouTube. We see this on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But the two actors that have now participated that have kind of been outside of the focus was Apple and Amazon. Apple and Amazon were not traditionally kind of looped into this kind of whole tech tyranny issue. Apple, which is mostly a hardware company, but they got involved and they showed that they are not immune to the pushes of the mob and of the left. And so Apple came out and said to Parler, it's threefold. I mean, it was bad enough that all of a sudden Parler couldn't be found in the Apple App Store or in the Google App Store. That's bad. The worst part of that, though, is that all of a sudden the hosting capability. And so what's the best way that I could equate this? Here's a good example. Let's use this example. Let's pretend you're a startup business, which Parler is, and you're a restaurant. And you have an agreement with your landlord that if something goes wrong, you at least have 30 days to move all of your, let's say, ovens and all of your kitchen supplies, right? Your tables, your chairs, your restaurant, right? That's what you do. However, let's pretend that you don't own the building. You're just renting it. Because you're a startup company and you're like, I can't afford to buy a building yet, so I'm renting. And then you get a knock on the door on Friday night saying, if you do not totally change your menu, and let's pretend you serve Chinese food, to Italian food, by tomorrow night, I'm kicking you out of the building. And you're like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, can you give me 30 days? Can we figure this out? I'm a startup business. That's the analogy that just happened with Amazon. Because Amazon is the landlord of the server space.
Yeah, and they are the gold standard,
That's
too.
Right.
They are the place everyone is going because it's the best product on the market, so they know they can get away with behavior like this. And interestingly now, within the last day or so, we've seen Amazon partners start to take on some of this behavior as well. GoDaddy.com is another server provider which hosts domains, basically websites, for these companies. And yesterday, they actually ended up booting off a site that had something to do with the Second Amendment community, AR15.com. Is no longer listed.
That had so much to do with what happened last week, allegedly,
exactly.
Right?
Completely on, related, you know. But it's interesting to see that Amazon, as such a power player in this industry, is now, through their actions, inspiring other companies to do the same thing. I'm anticipating a lot of this behavior to sort of spiral out of control in the next few weeks.
And so now Parler is registered through Epic, E-P-I-K, an internet web hosting company known for working with right-leaning websites. This is from the Washington Examiner. It's a really good piece. And so Parler has found a new landlord. I do not think that they're going to be kicked off anytime soon from Epic. However, Amazon was the best, fastest, cheapest option for a company like Parler. Looking back at it from the kind of leadership of Parler, they never should have used Amazon in the first place.
Right.
But I don't think they ever anticipated, you know, this kind of backlash or this kind of response.
Well, this has never happened before in the history of our country. You know, you and I were talking casually in a commercial break yesterday that political affiliation has never been a protected class against discrimination.
That's right.
Because it's never been a problem before in our nation's history.
And it could go, you know, there. If all of a sudden you were not allowing political discrimination, then how are you supposed to have the Republican Party of,
right, exactly,
you know, Phoenix, right? And so are the Maricopa County. And so political discrimination, how do you have political parties without political discrimination?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, which is why we've never really considered something like this before. But all of a sudden now we're seeing conservatives as an entity be discriminated against from providing services to them simply because of their voter history, how they're registered to vote, if they've ever worn a red MAGA hat, and if you're remotely associated, not even the loudest voice in that community, all of a sudden you're being completely disenfranchised, not just in big tech and hosting websites on certain servers, but as we saw yesterday trending on Twitter, the hashtag no fly list even. People are saying conservatives shouldn't be able to fly on commercial airlines, which is absolutely absurd and completely ridiculous.
Well, it's something that we used as an outrageous example in kind of a metaphor towards social media companies, but now people are actually legitimately suggesting it. So here's where we're at, and this is where someone like Elon Musk could come in. And I don't think Elon even cares about making money. I mean, he is the richest man on the planet, which I'd much rather have Elon be the richest man than Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, where Elon could just kind of keep decent society together. If he all of a sudden decided to get in the hardware business of cell phones, get into the server space, if all of a sudden Tesla said, you know what, we're starting an airline and we're not going to discriminate against you, that'd be kind of cool. A social media company. The point is this, is that we have now realized that we've been warning against this for quite some time. The corporations are against us. The capital flows into BLM Incorporated. The amount of backlash that these corporations have put towards mainstream and middle America and towards Trump supporters. And this recent, you know, tragic event that happened last week is just the latest of that. And they are only reinforcing kind of a narrative that pre-existed the riot.
Right.
I want to just make that very clear that there are people within these companies that have wanted to kick Parler off before this happened. It wasn't as if all of a sudden they didn't have this sentiment within. And so what I think we as conservatives need to realize is that we have to go build new stuff, is that we don't just have to, you know, have the best ideas. No, we have to actually go build new infrastructure, right? We have to go build new phones. We have to, you know, and I'm trying to find a competitor to Apple right now. I'm trying to migrate off Apple because I think what they did to Parler is so awful. Easier said than done, while I give them millions of dollars of free advertising on our live stream, both of us, every single day. But I mean, look, Apple has kind of been left alone by the entrepreneurial competitive space because there really hasn't been any reason to compete against them. However, I could tell you this. If Apple all of a sudden is going to be taken over by the wokesters, then they're going to be really open for disruption. I mean, 74 million people is a massive consumer market. It just is. And you start to look at someone that can all of a sudden get into the hardware space that can compete against Apple. Apple might change their ways, or Apple might say, we just want to be nothing but a liberal company. You know, I watched the national championship last night. Alabama might be the best football team last night with Mac Jones that I've ever seen. Close to the LSU last year with Joe Burrow is right there. I have to say, it was just dominant. However, why am I bringing this up? Apple kept running this ridiculous commercial with like Lady Gaga. And have you seen this commercial with Stephen Colbert?
Yep.
It's actually a really good commercial if I look at it objectively, despite all the fact that they're all a bunch of Machiavellian Marxists, you know, in the – I think John Legend is in the commercial. And it's all about like fighting the system and like these are for appeal pushback. All of you agree on everything, okay? There's no ideological diversity whatsoever. And the point is this, is that Apple, if they make the decision, which they have based on that commercial, to be nothing more than a social justice warrior hardware delivery mechanism, that's not going to – that's not actually the best marketing strategy for them. And I think for shareholders that have significant positions in these companies, I really do, I think that they have a significant potential legal claim saying that you are not acting in the best interest of this publicly traded stock. Instead, you're acting in your own political interest. With the Turning Point USA movement, I've had the honor of traveling across America to visit college campuses and engage in rigorous debate with the next generation. When you talk to as many students as I do, there are several familiar themes. I see disillusionment with the media, a lack of hope in their job prospects. I hear them claim that they're victims and deserve better. Whether college students realize it or not, they're forming ideologies that will affect the way they think and treat others for a lifetime. I'd like to recommend a great book to any young person in this time of life. It's called Reflections on the Existence of God by best-selling author Richard Simmons III. This guy never shies away from the hard questions of life. Reflections on the Existence of God is a collection of short essays that tackles the biggest questions of all. Does God exist? This book is well-researched and easy to read. One of the most important things a young person can do is to solidify their worldview. Our worldview informs our personal, social, and political lives. It helps us understand our purpose. So I'm challenging college students to ask themselves life's toughest questions. Dive in and get this book today, Reflections on the Existence of God. Go to reflectionscharlie.com. That's reflectionscharlie.com. Then drop me a line with your thoughts. Really, there needs to be four big political goals in the next 2 years, and we need to outline them, we need to mention them, and they're not really going to get you very excited because they're all defensive goals because of we lost Georgia. Number one, no new states to the union. Number two, no new seats to the United States Supreme Court. Number three, no HR1, which is taxpayer-funded universal mail-in voting. Number four, no abolition of the Electoral College. That's very unlikely. That's going to happen. But the one that is the most likely is the admission of new states to the union. Most specifically, looks like Washington, D.C. is going to be on the short list to try to get pushed through as a new state. Now, the Democrats don't care for a second about representation of D.C. The only reason they want this is because it increases their power. It's the only reason. The only reason they want this is because it will give them two senators in a state that is 96% Democrat. So how are states added to the union, Isabel?
Well, Charlie, this process has changed significantly throughout time, not based on constitutional framework, but just how they decided to do it in the United States Congress. It goes back to Article 4, Section 3, Clause 1 in the Constitution, which essentially says new states can just be admitted by an act of Congress into the union. You can't change the makeup of any existing states in any way without a convention of states.
Got it.
So that involves the consent of the state legislatures as well as Congress. But when it comes right down to it, the only necessary framework you need is an act of Congress to create a new state.
So technically, it needs to pass the House of Representatives, pass the Senate, and be signed by the president.
That's all it takes.
That's very interesting. And so Manchin was a little bit wishy-washy on this when he was asked about it. If they get two new states, if they get even one new state, that means two new senators, one congressperson, which again, they're not actually interested in the representation. Let me prove it to you. If they were, they would say that Washington, D.C. can become a part of Maryland. Now, that would take an act of a convention of states, right?
Correct. It
because would. It would change the current complexion of, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Of certain, is it only the adjoining states or all the states?
It's if you're trying to form any state within the jurisdiction of another state or by conjoining two or more states or parts
of
those.
Got it. So states. That would take a meeting of the Convention of States.
Correct.
Let's go to Joe Manchin here when he was asked one-on-one. Joe Manchin's getting a lot of TV time. He is proudly going to get every – I mean, I'm telling you right now, if I was a lobbyist, which I am not, I would get very close with Joe Manchin because this guy is going to get whatever he wants done in every single massive spending bill because he's going to exert an extraordinary amount of power because he is not necessarily going to toe the party line. Now, the interesting thing is that prior to Barack Obama, there used to be like 12 Democrats like Joe Manchin. There was that guy from South Dakota who lost because he voted for Obamacare. There were blue dog Democrats all across the country. They are now an endangered species as Republicans have done worse in the suburbs but better in the rurals. Republicans have all Republican senators in North Dakota, in Missouri, in Nebraska, South Dakota, and Iowa. Yeah, so that kind of whole part of the country is nothing but Republican senators, where Democrats actually used to do really well there, believe it or not. Democrats used to do super well in Iowa and really, really well in Nebraska and really well in the Dakotas. But as Democrats have become more out of touch with there. Anyway, so let's play tape here of Joe Manchin, who's getting a lot of TV time, talk to Jake Tapper.
Statehood for Washington, D.C.
I don't know enough about that yet. I want to see the pros and cons, so I'm waiting to see all the facts. I'm open up to see everything.
Statehood for Puerto Rico.
Same thing.
Okay. So basically he's saying, you give me the right committees, you take care of my projects, I'll give you statehood. That's the way that the system unfortunately works in certain ways, that a senator from West Virginia, because he's the only blue dog Democrat left, wields that kind of power.
Right. Absolutely. And frankly, this is just how Congress works at the end of the day. A lot of it is behind the scenes trading. What can you give me to give you? I'm sure that that will drive this decision to make Washington, D.C. and or Puerto Rico a state. But I'm anxious to see what the final vote count might look like and what our representatives
Well, every Republican will
doing.
Likely be against it. Mitt Romney might vote for it, but I think
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see Mitt Romney possibly doing that. But yeah, look, in addition to the state, would structurally change the way we do things. So again, no new states, no abolition of the Electoral College, no H.R. 1, no new seats to the United States Supreme Court. Okay, maybe you can help settle a Silicon Valley social media dispute for us. So are we allowed to stream the president or not?
Guess we'll find out here shortly.
Can you give us some guidelines of whether or not we're allowed to hear from the president of the United States? That is something – they're just trying to act as if he doesn't exist, right?
Yeah, they've literally erased his digital footprint overnight.
Yeah, that is a common tactic amongst the Maoist left to try and destroy and eliminate people in history. One of our team members says, I think it's risky. I think it's risky too, but this is the president, for God's sakes. He still has a week left. Okay, let's get to some sound here. Let's go to I want to get to this whole COVID outbreak thing in the Chinese coronavirus outbreak in Congress.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there have been some members that have got infected with the Chinese coronavirus. We hope that they get through that. The reason, though, we don't know, they are blaming three Republicans that didn't wear masks. Is that right?
They are. And they are very heavily blaming those three individuals, despite the fact that I'm guessing they were negative for COVID-19.
Well, also, though, there is a woman that was COVID positive.
Yes, Representative Moore, who's a Democrat from Wisconsin, tested positive for COVID-19 on December 28th. And just a few days later, attended a session of Congress in person to cast her ballot for Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Who was the one? Okay, here, Moore. That's right. Gwen Moore.
Yes.
From Wisconsin. So she was COVID positive, travels to D.C., and then quarantines with the entire United States Congress. But don't blame her. Blame the maskless Republicans. Let's go to Pramila. I can never say her name. I mean, no disrespect by this, but it is a tough one. Let me see if I can get this one here. Jayapal. But of course, the Democrats are very quick to want to blame all the Republicans on this because they didn't want to wear masks. And I think there's a video of the Republicans saying they don't want to wear masks. Who was actually taking video of that during that moment while the Capitol was under siege? Just think about your priorities, right? The Capitol is under attack. you're in some form of a bunker and someone is distributing masks and you see that Republicans don't want them and you take out your phone. He's like, I'm going to film you. Really? That's
Congress's priorities right there.
That's
but
Congress's
it is important
priority.
To note Representative Moore, who was the COVID positive individual who came to the Capitol to vote for Nancy Pelosi, needed to be there for Pelosi to retain the Speaker of the House position. I think she won by either a 1 or 2 margin vote. It was razor thin. So honestly, she needed that COVID infected vote very, very badly, despite the fact that person was positive for COVID-19.
That's right. Senator Chuck Schumer cut 59. Says that anyone involved in the Capitol breach should immediately be added to the TSA no-fly list because they're a threat to our homeland. Play cut 59.
Ahead of the concern for possible future attacks, and with the law on our side, we are to say that these insurrectionists, many of whom are known to be at large, should not be able to hop on a flight. We are here today because the folks, the people, the insurrectionists who breached the U.S. Capitol fall under the definition of threats to the homeland and should be immediately added to the TSA no-fly list. We are calling on the authorities, the FBI, the TSA.
So only if Madonna gets added, play cut 55. I will only agree as Senator Chuck Schumer if Madonna can never fly again. Play tape.
Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
So I'm game, Chuck Schumer. If Madonna can never fly again and the people that went into the Capitol, I will strike that bargain. How about Eric Holder? Should he be allowed to board airplanes? Play cut 56.
Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know. She and my wife, like, really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick them. That's what this new Democratic Party is about. Okay. We're proud as hell to be Democrats. We're willing to fight for the ideals of the Democratic Party. We're proud of our history. We're proud of our present. And we're proud of the future that we can create for this country.
There's that word again, Charlie.
Well, they're chanting fight.
Fight, fight, fight. Fight.
And I don't think it's a winning message while you're in the South to say you're proud of the history of the Democrat Party. Not a winning message, Eric Holder. Let's go to cut 57, Juliet Kayyem, who says Trump is the spiritual leader for domestic terrorists. Let's play cut 57.
Trump is the spiritual, but I will also say operational leader of this domestic terrorism effort. He tells them where to go. He tells them what to do. He tells them why they're angry. And so we need to start at the top, like any counterterrorism effort, which is total isolation of the president of the United States. Impeachment, yes. 25th Amendment, yes. Deplatforming, yes. All of the above. No money, no access to campaign funds.
No money, no food, no shelter, no water. Oh my gosh. Let's go to Glenn. Do we have the Glenn Greenwald clip? The reason is because Glenn Greenwald is warned against this, which is you overuse the term terrorist. And I said this earlier in the segment. For the people that planted pipe bombs and knew about it at the RNC and the DNC, yeah, that's domestic terror. For the people that had schematics of the U.S. Capitol and came there with the intent of trying to penetrate, yeah, that's domestic terror. For some 67-year-old guy from Ohio that waved a flag on the steps of the Capitol and realized he made a mistake and retreated, unwise, don't loop them into the same thing. This is exactly what Glenn Greenwald warned about. Play tape.
Well, one thing I think that we're clearly seeing is the initiation of a new war on terror, which I don't say lightly. I say that because the Biden administration, what will be the Biden administration in about a week, is saying explicitly that they want, first of all, a new law to further criminalize domestic terrorism, even though every act that constitutes domestic terrorism is already criminalized. What they want to do is increase their power to monitor political groups, to infiltrate them, to criminalize activities that currently are not criminalized, nor should they be, whether it be advocacy of speech or other things. They're saying they want a new law, similar to the way that the 9/11 attack and the emotions surrounding it was instantly seized upon, to institute a whole series of new laws that endure to this very day.
Glenn Greenwald is a traditional liberal. He's not a leftist. He and I probably disagree on quite a lot of topics. However, he's been wonderful on the civil representation side, about talking about the rights of Americans to not be spied on, infiltrated, or monitored. And so the language that is now being used by this woman, who is not just a random commentator, she's the former assistant secretary for intergovernmental affairs at the Department of Homeland Security, where she said, no money, none of this, none of that. You're talking about the people that are about to take over the government in 8 days, next Wednesday. When they take over the government in 8 days, all of a sudden this language is not just going to be bluster and going to be vapor on CNN. This is now going to have the full force of the United States government. With it, the full force of social media.
Industry in general.
And industry too. And corporations, yeah. And academia and most of churches. So you're going to have basically they control every single major institution. But Glenn Greenwald, and I think this is one of the most important fights, and he's highlighting this, is that the current criminal justice system works in the benefit of the accused. The Patriot Act Bush system did not. And I think that even some Republicans would admit that it went too far, that the Patriot Act was a mass surveillance operation that was even used against President Trump. FISA was formed after that. And Glenn Greenwald trying to say, time out here. Are we really willing to weaponize our entire government to try and destroy an entire political movement that we don't like? Frederica Wilson, is that the same woman that we talked about from Wisconsin?
Different.
I was going to say, woman. I don't remember this one. Can you talk about this?
Yeah, so our team just informed us that there were actually two individuals in the House of Representatives who voted for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House who literally broke their COVID-19 quarantines. I'm not sure if Frederica Wilson, who is one of our members of the House, was COVID positive, but she definitely was in quarantine status when she came to the House to vote for Speaker Pelosi. Without those two votes, she would have tied.
That's
so
right.
So interesting to see how the outcome really changed. But nobody's calling the House Speaker vote a super spreader event, interestingly enough.
And now a third Democrat, Brad Schneider, who is my former congressman when I used to live in Illinois when I was raised, has tested positive, blames the maskless Republicans, does not blame Frederica Wilson or the other Democrats for that. And this just kind of goes to show. This is what he says, quote, I am now in strict isolation, worried that I have risked my wife's health and angry at the selfishness and arrogance of the anti-maskers who put on their own contempt and disregard for decency ahead of health. Where is his strong repudiation for Frederica Wilson or for Gwen Moore, who were both tested positive and possibly contagious? And is it Permia Jayapal that he's upset about, which is the anti-masker that was in the House of Representatives? I don't think so. Look, I use ExpressVPN all the time. But when you anonymize your connection, you can surf the internet freely without wondering who will get a hold of your search history or viewing habits or what they will do with that information. Do you want the government to be reading over your shoulder every time you go online? Exactly. There's never been a more important time to protect your internet activity, which is why I urge all my listeners to download ExpressVPN like I have on my phone. When you search for something online, watch a video, or click a link, it all gets tracked by the big tech companies. They can match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, and my data is encrypted for maximum protection. And besides hiding my internet activity, what I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and boom, you're protected. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies and to the government. Defend your rights with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/charlie. That's expressvpn.com/charlie to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/charlie right now to learn more. We are taking your questions here. freedom@charliekirk.com. Isabella, you can help with this one. Hi, Charlie. My name is Kate, and I'm 17 years old from Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm in my senior year of high school. What do you say to lost teenagers that have just begun their political journey? He goes on to talk about how he's told to kill himself and they're racist, disgusting, all of that. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication to Turning Point USA and America as a whole.
Oh, well, thank you so much for all of those kind words, Kate. I think you are not the only teenager in America facing that reality. Unfortunately, conservative young people, not just teenagers, but young adults as well, are told that stuff all day, every day. You should see some of the messages that myself and Charlie and Alex and Graham and Rob and people we work with get because we do this professionally. That's the left's most effective tactic, is that they will say the scariest, craziest things to you in an attempt to get you to stop sharing what you believe in and influencing your peers. Don't let them. They are only effective if you continue to be silent and you continue to hide the things that you believe in. I would say join a Turning Point USA chapter. That's how I made some of my best friends in college and lifelong friends that I still have today. And it just gave me so much courage that I didn't have before to continue advocating for what I believed in.
It's a great point. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Vivian, who has subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and shows us that she is, she says, make the switch from Apple to Samsung. I'll look into it.
There we go.
Here is one here. Hi, Charlie. I'm a stay-at-home mom in the suburbs of Chicago. I wanted to get your book from the library. I looked it up and saw that it was on the shelf, so I called them to reserve it. And she said it was only available as an ebook, and I had to be a student at the local college to get it. That's on their website. You looked like you worked really hard to get my book, so I'll send you a free copy of the book, okay? So thank you for that, and thank you for emailing us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. There's a lot happening in the country, and the president is speaking in Alamo, Texas. Not at the Alamo. I guess that's a distinction that I need to make. Right, Connor? Is it Alamo, Texas or the Alamo? I don't know. But I want you to understand that there was an attack on the White House this summer that was called a mostly peaceful protest. And in fact, they got even closer than that. They got right up to the gates. And the only way they were able to clear that is with tear gas and with riot gear. It was wrong then. It was wrong what happened last week. Both can be true and both are true. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's one here. Hi, Charlie. My name is Chris. I'm a proud conservative from central Nebraska. I'm currently a sophomore at UNL. I'm planning on getting involved with Turning Point USA this upcoming semester. Awesome. I want to, he says, fight back. He means it figuratively, and preserve what this beautiful country stands for. What are your best suggestions? I would also like to know how you conduct research, find articles, so on and so forth. So we go through a variety of different sources. We have an unbelievable research team here on the Charlie Kirk Show that goes through every single major article, not just from the mainstream press, but dives deep into different angles and different stories and all sorts of different things. And the thing I really suggest you do, I like realclearpolitics.com. I like justthenews.com. They both do a really good job. And I think the less time that you get your news from social media, the better. I think that, Isabel, where do you get your information from?
It's not a fancy, flashy answer, but honestly, a great resource that's available to you guys comes from our Library of Congress. They have honestly the best research team, I think, in the world. Mm-hmm. We employ people from every country around the world who are very good experts at their subject, which are pretty niche topics. They put together really easy to read briefings that are 2 to 4 pages, mostly bullet points.
Huh.
They're super easy to read and they're available to everybody online. So that's my favorite place to go.
I'll have to check that out. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Look, this is a moment of action. This is a moment of building. And that's exactly what we are doing here at Turning Point USA. I want to get to some more questions here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's a good question. Hi, Charlie. What is so beneficial of the Electoral College for us? It's always seemed overly complicated to me, and I never really fully understood what it does for us. Thank you for all you do. I look forward to supporting your efforts in the future. Thank you, Cody. Well, look, the Electoral College is really important because it's the states that should determine a president. And the left all of a sudden became huge fans of the Electoral College this last time. They said all these states certified it, And it's some of it you guys might be, well, that's what just happened is really bad because the states have been totally and completely corrupted. No, look at it differently. Now it's a chance to fix it through these Republican states, right? Yes, we allowed a lot of stuff to happen in these states. I have to be very careful the way I say things. Stuff to happen in these states. And the stuff that happened in those states needs to be fixed. And it needs to be fixed through these state legislatures. And so the Electoral College is critical because it is a firewall against mob rule. It is a firewall against just whoever can promise the most amount of stuff to the most amount of people. And if you want to see real claims of that kind of shenanigans, get rid of the Electoral College and empower New York, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. We would never win another election again. So thank you for your question. I really appreciate it. This is a great point that we're getting, and this is something that I've heard from a couple times. I just love the wisdom of some of the people that email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Twitter can choose what they want to do because it's a private business. However, small businesses are forced to remain closed.
Yeah, the irony of that is absolutely alarming to me.
So you have small businesses that are told, you're no longer a small business, we're all in this together, shut down your doors. And then you also have these big multi-trillion dollar companies that are allowed to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com.
We're hearing actually from Twitter that they're condemning internet shutdowns. Oh. The Ugandan election is this week, and there's been reports that internet service providers are blocking social media and messaging apps to influence the election in some way. And Twitter has issued a statement saying, we strongly condemn internet shutdowns. They are hugely harmful, violate basic human rights and the principles of the open internet.
Unbelievable. Here's a question from Oregon. Hi, Charlie. Big fan. Thank you. My name is Paige and I'm from Oregon. Okay. Hi. I'm a college student taking some time off right now because I'm not sure what I want to do. That's a perfectly okay thing to do. Curious. What's your opinion on conservatives that want to move out of blue states? My family has talked about moving over to Idaho. Paige. Well, if you're in Oregon, I would get out. Oregon does not look too good, which is too bad because I think actually the people of Oregon are more conservative than actually they vote. But I think there's a lot of nonsense that happens there. I moved out of Illinois. I love the state of Illinois. Despite the winters, it's great people, wonderful. Just culture is just phenomenal. I love Illinois. But I was like, I'm not going to pay a 5% flat income tax where a state where I travel all the time and no one wants to live here and it's a declining business environment. And it's more and more hostile to conservatives. We're out of here. You grew up in Colorado.
I did. And I obviously left Colorado first for graduate school and then to move here to Arizona, where we work with our Turning Point USA team. Just make us a promise if you do leave a blue state to anyone listening to this, don't bring those policies with you.
Do not bring them with you. So I want to thank those of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Here's a question. Another 15-year-old from Oregon. I don't like what's happening in the Republican Party. What are your thoughts on the Libertarian and Constitution Party? My advice is try to fix the Republican Party. Don't splinter ourselves. That's what the Democrats want. They're going to stay united through this broad-based coalition. If you want to see more Libertarian or if you want to see more principle stands, go through the Republican Party. Don't go to the Libertarian Party. Work through the Republican Party. I would rather see more people like Rand Paul in the Republican Party than more people like Rand Paul try to run for office in the Libertarian Party. That is my opinion on that. Some people say, how do I subscribe via Android? Well, go to the Google Podcast app that should be there. Type in the Charlie Kirk Show, or if you have Spotify. Thank you for your question, Teresa. Here is another question here. Here's a good one. Hey, Charlie, can you help explain what Section 230 is? I've heard that it needs to be abolished and that it's not good. What changes need to be made to Section 230? Can you help explain this as well? And then I'll go from there.
Yeah. So the big change with Section 230 is, first of all, that we just need to get rid of it, in my opinion. It's really not, frankly, a constitutional law from my perspective, but it's not doing anybody any favors other than these multi-trillion dollar tech companies.
Yes.
Essentially, what Section 230 does is it shields these companies like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even Amazon from civil liability. So what does that mean? It means they have the complete control to deplatform someone, to delete posts, to take content off of their sites that they deem to be harassment or inappropriate or violence, even if they're not actually considered violence or inappropriate, even if it violates the Constitution. And the law actually has that language baked right into it. And there's absolutely nothing that the consumer can do. You can't sue them in court for that. You can't take it through the judicial system to prove that you have First Amendment rights. Essentially, your First Amendment rights don't exist because of Section 230 when it comes to these, I believe they call them information service providers. So that includes social media companies, as well as other companies like Amazon, who currently we're seeing be sued in federal court right now because they deplatformed Parler from their internet servers.
That's exactly right. And so this Section 230 is a provision of the Communications Decency Act, which is a government-created regulation that, quite honestly, has made these social media companies more powerful than they otherwise would have been, which protects them against lawsuits and protects them against potential civil and criminal liability. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. Start a chapter, get engaged, get involved. And as always, you can support us at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much, everybody. God bless.